Well, good morning. Again, as always, we say, youth of our church, we love you, we miss you, and we're so glad that we can stay in touch with you, at least through the online service, and picking you up and taking you to Capital City Church of God sometimes and fellowshipping with other believers, and just know that our hope is built on Jesus and His love. So hopefully and prayerfully we can get back together again. Our fellowship hall is still under remodeling parts, but we're able to keep in contact with all our young people online, text, Facebook, and it's a joy to be able to stay in touch. But I think the most important thing is that these online service, we call it, the youth message, but it's really a message for all of us, and because the message is Jesus and His love for us. It doesn't matter how old you are. You always need that kind of love and faith that we have in Jesus Christ, because He becomes our fortress of hope. Now, what do you mean about a fortress of hope? Well, when armies or anybody, or they're trying to get away from the enemy, they build a fortress up on the mountain or whatever, just like the Israelites did way back when they went up on top of Masada, and they built a fortress up there to keep the Romans at that time, or their enemies, from coming up there and getting them. So, we have a fortress of hope in this life. I want to share this week's gospel message with you in Mark chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. New Living Translation says this: Jesus is predicting His death. Now, why is that important? Because He came to die for the sins of the world. Now, they didn't quite understand all that, but they later knew this is exactly what it was. So, here in Mark's gospel, starting in verse 31, New Living Translation, Jesus is telling His disciples that His death is imminent. Hear God's word. Then Jesus began to tell them that He, the Son of Man, would suffer many things and be rejected by the leaders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, and 3 days later He would arise. As He talked about this openly with His disciples, Peter took Him aside and said, "You shouldn't say these things, Lord." Jesus turned and looked at Peter and his disciples. Then He said to Peter very sternly, "Get away from me, Satan. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's." And then He called all of His disciples together in the crowds to listen to Him. "If any of you want to be my followers," He told them, "you must put aside your selfish ambition, shoulder your cross, and follow me. If you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will find true life. And how do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul in the process? Is anything worth more than your soul? If a person is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, I, the Son of Man, will be ashamed of that person when I return in glory of my Father's house and His holy angels." May God add His blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of His holy and precious word. You know, it's a lot of the things that, like growing up, we used to say, "Man, I'd like to be cool." And we tried to be cool. We flipped our collars up and all that kind of stuff, and it was cool. But I think everybody, at one time in their life, loves to feel something bigger than themselves. Part of something that's amazing, part of a great project, a fantastic mission, an exciting team, and a member of the cool crowd. If any of you ever watch Happy Days, why, you will see that old Fonzie was the cool one in the cool crowd, and everybody wanted to be around Fonzie. Well, we feel good in that sense as we share our identities with others, especially the one that makes us feel appreciated, wanted, and engaged in value. And Jesus certainly did that when He said, "Come and follow me." You want to be a part of the cool crowd? Come with me as we minister the gospel to a whole bunch of people. But what happens when others in our lives think our cool is not so hot? And what's it mean when the cool crowd turns out to be the wrong crowd, at least in everybody else's eyes? Now, I know sometimes I revert back to my childhood and I kind of share my experience in my childhood, but did you know that youth, childhood hasn't changed, just times have changed? And some of the same things that you experience today is some of the same things I experienced when I was a kid. I had a good friend, and he's still a good friend. I performed his wedding ceremony, or was a part of his wedding ceremony way back when. But during us growing up, my mom did not think too much of Johnny, and that was his real name. And she forbid me to run around with him, as we talked about, because every time I'd run around with him, eventually I'd end up getting in trouble from one thing or another. Now, we didn't really do anything bad, but we were always in trouble. So Mom forbid me to be in a friendship with Johnny. But I must admit, when she wasn't looking, Johnny and I went in fellowship with one another, and we had a good time. But sometimes the wrong crowd isn't in everybody's eyes as you see them, or I see them. So when you're in that situation, how do you weather that kind of critique or worry or doubt about sometimes being rejection and judgment, or yourself, by your family, friends, and colleagues, and even in the social media realm? So we have to be careful on who we hang out with, but the most important thing is to know where our hope lies. A fortress of hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to close with a little story that I found that maybe it'll give you some insights onto really this fortress of hope and how it came about and why it's so good to be a part of the Christian faith community. Here's that story. It's an old story that tells of three trees growing on a hillside, dreaming of what they wanted to be. The first one said, "I want to be a treasure box and hold the greatest treasure in the world." And then the second one said, "I want to be a strong sailing ship and carry the most powerful king in the world." And then the third one said, "I want to grow tall and point to God who gives beautiful treasures and mighty seas." Now, their dreams grew as the days passed on, until one day men came with axes and took away the three trees and took away their dreams, their hope. Well, the first tree became a box to hold hay for the animals to eat. And the second tree became a boat to hold fishermen and their smelly fish. The third tree was sawed and planked and left a plank for many years, just passed by being a plank. One quiet night, the cows mooed softly as the young mother placed her sleeping baby in the box that held the hay. "It'll be his manger," she said. And then the small box knew that it held the greatest treasure in the world, God's gift of love, our fortress of hope in Jesus. Then many years passed by, and one stormy night the waves rose high and the wind tossed this small fishing boat to and fro. Jesus' friends were frightened, but he stood up and said to the waves, "Peace be still." And the sea laid down nice and calm, and the boat knew that he was carrying the most powerful king. And then more years later, one night, a dark crowd of angry men nailed Jesus to the cross. That was the third tree. You see, that particular day with the sun shining bright, it shone on Jesus, and he lived again. And that tree knew that whoever people saw the cross, pointing directly to heaven. They would remember God for the three trees. All their dreams and hopes came true. That's why we hang on to the fortress of hope, who is Jesus Christ. You know, it's we don't go through the worship service in the fellowship hall like we used to, but you know, we always want to plant a seed. And if we plant seeds in people's lives, so when you experience that hope and joy and peace that only God can give to us through Christ, then you need to share it with others. We're so faithful that we can do that here in this church in so many ways. But just know that God loves you. Travis loves you. Tina loves you. Tina, too, and Carol Morgan love you. And me, as your pastor, I certainly do love you. Have a good day and hope to see you in person sometime soon in church. You know, there's hope out there. They got another vaccine and things are moving along. Hopefully and prayerfully, by the time the fellowship hall is done in its remodeling, we can say, come on down to Bethel United Methodist Church where they worship the Lord Jesus. Amen. Have a wonderful, blessed day.